Coach Bryles is doing a heck of a job there. You know, it helps that he has got some good players. I mean, you got All-American types like Richardson and Sistrom coming offense, and they got three of the top five tacklers in the Big 12. You know, with Hager and Lackey and Dixon. So a combination of good coaching and good players, and they got things going on. You know, and I mentioned Coach Montgomery and he have been together for over 20 years, so they think very, very closely. You know, there are two elements of their offensive coaching philosophy that really put pressure on defenses. One is the tempo in which they play, which is a very high tempo, and the second, and I see very few teams like this, is how they stretch you horizontally. They play truly sideline to sideline. You'll see times when one receiver will be 2 yards from the sideline, and the receiver on the other side will be 2 yards from the sideline, stretching you horizontally, which, you know, everyone thinks that they're just a passing team, but that's the furthest from the truth. I mean, they're averaging 715 yards a game, but 300 yards rushing. Another 415 yards passing, and they're averaging over 64 points per game. Now they usually use multiple wide receivers. They either use 11 people with a tight end and three wide receivers. They use that a little over half the time, and then about a third of the time they use just put four wide receivers out there without a tight end. Now I mentioned Richardson. You know, Richardson is a man. You know, playing left guard. As a matter of fact, you can throw him and Hilliard together. Those two guards are big, big men, and they play very physically. Now, Huber's a center, and Drango and Palmer handle the tackles. The guys that stand out to you right off the bat when you're looking at that offensive line of those guards. And the quarterback, you know, they're generating a bunch of good quarterbacks coming out of Baylor. Bryce Petty's the latest. He's been in the system a couple of years. He's every bit of 6'3", 220. And he's averaging 338 yards a game. But two things that really stand out for me more than anything else about this young man. One is his touchdown to interception ratio, which is 15-1. 15 touchdowns to one interception. And the other one, he leads the country in pass efficiency. So one of the reasons you lead the country in pass efficiency is because you're not throwing interceptions and throwing a bunch of touchdown passes. You know, with Sistrom, you know, is one of the best running backs in the country. He's averaging for over 125 yards a game and over 9 yards a carry. And that the other part of it is that they have two other guys, Linwood and Martin. And they're both really good backs too. So he's not the only one carrying the torch. He's just a lame man. Same thing's true at the wide receiver position. They get a bunch of guys like Norwood, who's their punt returner, but really, you know, you look at Reese, he's as fast as they come at wide receiver, and Goodley, you know, you look at those two guys, you know, he's one of the leading receivers in the country, and Goodley, and he might not be any better than Reese, who's one of the fastest in the country. You know, they play a bunch of guys there, and they play Niver, you know, at the tight end, and they can utilize him more as a blocker because they have all these skilled guys that can get the ball in their hands. Now on the other side of the ball, Coach Bennett, you know, they're seventh in the country in scoring defense and 11th in total defense. And, you know, they basically play even cover four. You've heard this stick before. You know, they play it almost every down. Now the thing about it, the way they've choreographed this defense, you know, they play Blackshear and right now Bonds, I see playing as the starters inside. But at the defensive end position, they use Lloyd, McAllister, Oakman, and Palmer, and all four of them are pass rushing dudes. And because they get up and scores a lot of time, they just turn them free. They just say, you know, go get after the quarterback. So they don't have to bring a lot of pressure. No, they can just turn those defensive ends free and say, you know, you don't have to worry a heck of a lot about the running game. Just get after the quarterback, and they do. They get after him. You know, the linebackers are making a bunch of tackles. I mentioned Lackey and Hager before. You know, they're the two inside linebackers. You know, Lackey plays to the boundary, and Hager plays to Mike, and Hall plays the field adjuster. Last year, he and Dixon kind of switched positions. Dixon was the field adjuster, And Hall was the boundary safety. This year, Hall's the field adjuster, and Dixon's the boundary safety. You know, Dixon's there along, you know, along with Bird, the safeties, and then they got, you know, Morton and Gordon handling the corners. I can give you a funny anecdote. I mean, the leading punter in the country, okay, is Roth. He leads the Big 12 in punting, but he never punts. You know, so I mean, he has about 2 punts for a year. Well, I don't know exactly what the number is, but it's not very many. You know, Jones, their kicker, and then they use skilled guys. You know, Coleman and Fuller handle their kick returner, and I mentioned before that Norwood's their punt returner.
All right, fire away.
There's other schools in the country that have similar personnel. There's probably not many, but there's probably a few. How hard would it be for them by studying film and seeing what Baylor does and then copying it? Or does some of it just have to be in the minds of those two guys?
Well, it's funny because I saw Bryles in the offseason and I talked to him and said, how the hell do you call plays that fast? No, really, how do you snap plays that? And he called it organized chaos. He goes, it's organized chaos. That was his phrase to me. But I think that even though you might be able to simulate / emulate the horizontal stretching of the field, you can do that. I mean, still, to snap the ball as quick as they do, rolling people on and off the field at the same time. You know, it's one thing. When you make substitutions, usually it takes a while. Now, granted, the officials are supposed to, when there's a personnel substitutions, hold it till you have a chance to match. But everything happens so quickly. So it's the combination of the spread and the width of the field and the tempo in which they play that even if you know they're doing it, you know, you're going to have a tough test, you know, unless you're committed to doing that full time, all the time, you know, then, you know, you'll have a tough time coming up with the same picture.
When you think about some of the offenses you've coached, whether that was, you know, at Notre Dame or even in the NFL, what were the things that defenses did that you hated to try to stop that, you know, potent attack that you had?
Well, I think that, like my first couple of years at Notre Dame, when I had a bunch of good wide receivers, which we had a bunch of good wide receivers, and, you know, that lasted for a while. I think that any time that they just said, you're going to drop 8 guys, and you're just going to have the patience to go ahead and run the ball. And then you do that, you know, but you had to be willing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so people can exaggerate one or the other. They can go out of the way to try to take an element away. But a team like this, I mean, if you load up the box, they'll throw it on every down.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't cover the box, they'll run it on every down. So the misnomer is that all they do is throw it up and down the field all the time, and that's not true. I mean, their running back might be the best player on our team. You know, he might be the best. I mean, so they can do both, and they're not afraid to do both, and they don't care. Whatever you decide you want to do, they'll gladly do the opposite.
Did you see many gimmicky type things in those days, or watching film of Baylor, have you seen other defenses try gimmicky type stuff to slow them down?
Actually, the only team that slowed them down was actually Kansas State. Now, remember, they only played one game on the road.
Right.
And one game on the road was Kansas State, and they were down in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not quite the same, you know, not quite the same on the road that it is at home. You know, I'm hoping for a 6 o'clock loud, boisterous crowd to not make it so easy on them. And I think that, you know, that's what they got when they were at K-State. It was a loud, boisterous crowd, and Kansas State played conservative. They only blitzed a couple times the whole game. They just lined up in their defense and said, we're going to try to make you one-dimensional, take away the run, and make you just have to throw it. And if they don't give up a couple of big plays in the fourth quarter, they might have beat them.
What does the noise do? You can't hear the calls, or you can't substitute as fast?
They call everything at the line of scrimmage. I mean, everything at the line of scrimmage quickly. So now, when you're calling plays at the line of scrimmage and not worrying about how fast you're calling them, you can go up and down and get it communicated. Signal outside to those guys and walk. You'll see, like last week, you saw Bell just went to the line of scrimmage and went from tackle to tackle and just told him what the play was and then backed up. Okay, and then signal out to the wide receiver and you run the play. But when you're trying to snap the ball as fast as they're trying to snap it, they're counting on verbal commands for everyone to know how do the line know what the play is yet? They don't know. They haven't even got the play yet. So they have to be given some kind of command to know what the play is. So it's a lot easier when you can yell it to them than when you have to walk up and tell it to them. Because when you have to walk up and tell it to them, that can slow down the tempo of which things take place.
So when should the fans start yelling? As soon as the
when they get there. when our defense goes on the field to when our defense goes off the field, that would be a good time. You know, they can yell the whole time. They can yell bad things at me. I don't care. Just make it very loud. Okay, the whole time we're on defense.
Obviously, you know, against a team like that, one of the things you want to do is control the clock and run the ball and all that. Is that part of it good timing for you guys to have sort of rediscovered your running game last week?
Well, that's what we're going to do anyway. They know it, you know it, and we know it, okay? And we all know the same thing that, you know, that last week we made a firm commitment to this is what we're going to do. Obviously, still not scoring enough points, and obviously for a couple of weeks been talking about the inefficiency of the passing game, but you know, we need to make a few big plays in a passing game and try to do all we can to do even better in the running game to make sure that we had a bunch of third and shorter situations that we came up short in this game, past game, and we can't have any against these guys if we're going to have any chance. We can't come up on third and two, come up fourth and one. And unlike last year, you know, now I get booed out of the stadium when I actually punt and do the reasonable thing. Last year I got booed out of the stadium when I went for it on fourth and one. You know what I mean? I might flip a coin and see which one am I supposed to do now. But I'm trying to play into our team's strength right now, which is our defense. And unlike the Texas Tech game where we're on a short field the whole day, you know, I don't want to put our defense on a short field. I want to put them on a long field as much as I possibly can.
Do you think prior to last week, this team had lost a little confidence in its running game?
Our team?
Yeah.
No, I think that we tried doing something different that didn't work.
Okay.
You know, so we went back to what we do. I think that you have to be willing to try things to try to, you know, to try to get more production. But at the end of the day, it wasn't just a lack of scoring points against Texas Tech. It was how we played the game, how the field position game became drastically one-sided to our side of the field. I just decided before the game was even over, you know, we can't play like that. Not at this point. You know, we can't play like that. Maybe there'll be a time that we could play like that, but this is not it.
Have you noticed a substantial difference between the run blocking versus the pass blocking at all?
Well, I mean, the players have confidence in the run blocking. A lot of it has to do with those guys that we give the ball to are pretty good. You know, I think that has a lot to do with it. I think in the pass blocking, I think that pass blocking, the passing game has been an across-the-board thing where we haven't been great in any element. You know, so as I said the other day, I don't want to sit there and pick one element. I think across the board, we have to get better at all elements if we're going to be more productive. You know, I think we got some things planned this week that should give us a chance.
Was Sizemore something new or just a new opportunity for him? Or
no, Nick, you know, he at the end of last year had come on pretty strong. I remember he had to sit out the first three games this year, so we didn't have him during that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's another one where because he's not a frontline player, everyone forgets about that. But you know, now all of a sudden he gets back and starts working his way in, and he really helped us in that last game because one thing he does is he brings a lot of physicality, and unlike a lot of people, he's not looking for the ball to be in his hands. You know, he's a skilled guy, but you can call him a skilled guy. You know, he's not looking for the ball to be in his hands. He, for him, you know, a winning play is a successful block, and you know, he really helped us last week.
Even with the struggles in the passing game, Saturday marked the fourth straight game Jermaine caught a touchdown pass. So during this past month, what has he been doing during the games to really put him in that position to be successful and get those scores?
It's funny. I had a tight end years ago by the name of Christian Fourier. And one year, I think he had like 12 or 13 catches, but eight of them were for touchdowns. You know, so it seems like every time they make a play, you know, the play ends up giving you points. I think there were a couple of plays in that game where we got, for example, the one seam ball that we don't hit, that, you know, 42 knocks down. I mean, they blow the coverage. He's running wide open. It's going to be a 50-yard gain. I mean, so, you know, there are a couple balls that we could have gotten to him that would have made a difference in his production. But the thing is, after those first couple games where he had a little case of the dropsies, I think that he's put that behind him. And, you know, he's gotten better not only in a pass game, but he's gotten better as a blocker here for the last month or so as well after we got through those first two games.
When you're watching a game on tape of the team, can you pick up calls on the microphones at all, or do they change all the time? Or is that part of the football espionage?
If you're watching a TV copy, you mean? Yeah, I mean, I watch games now with it. There are the guys like Peyton that go crazy, changing everything all the time. But, I mean, I watch games, and I mean, I watched a couple minutes of the game last night. I remember the Giants system is basically the same system. So I'm watching, he's going, you know, the same words that you hear when you're out of practice, Eli was saying last night in the game, you know, so you can hear him. The big difference is you don't hear as many of those calls on defense. You hear more of those calls on offense than you do on defense.
So you actually know some of the calls that Baylor has?
I mean, well, we know. What good does it do, though, when there are guys this far, and you got those two fast guys inside, and you got this good running back in here? You know, you have to decide, well, who are you going to concentrate on?
Right.
You know, and then it comes. If all bets are even, then it comes to athletes to athletes, and you know they got some really good ones there. So, and we have our work cut out for us. You know, especially, you know, now they've become. More well-rounded team. Before it was just an offensive team. Now the defense is ranked 7th in the country. You know, so part of the reason they're 7th in the country is because they're up 100-0 after about the first quarter. You know, so that changes how teams play. You know, and you know, if we're down 100-0 at the end of the first quarter, I might look up to you. You know, just tap you a couple of times right here and see if we can bring in a righty. You know. And, see if you can take it from there.
I can start calling the plays.
Yeah, that'd be great, wouldn't it? You might even put Bourbon in a quarterback, you know.
How did, now that you've had 2 weeks with Blasco and Palace being involved and obviously a game under your belt too, how has that gone? And I did want to ask you, are you still calling plays out there?
Did you see me with a call sheet
in my hand
the other day?
No.
Okay, so I'm advising. That's what I did.
Okay.
You know, so you know, my work is done all through the week. I mean, when we start on Monday through Saturday, we know how the game's going. I mean, we write up the list of openers. We know what the plays are going to be, and then it's just okay. They're doing this. Let's do that. You know, that's basically how it goes. I think they did a nice job as well as the whole staff. And it definitely was the most freedom I've had as a head coach ever. It was last week, the most freedom I've had to actually, you know, yell at officials and, you know, do the stuff that I really enjoy doing. You know. Which I did a few times, by the way.
Coach, this looks like your third straight week with the same old line. Is that helping out with continuity?
I think it's invaluable. You know, there's a couple of guys that, you know, that are in that mix, but I think that now you've settled into these are the guys and these are the first backups for those guys. I think it helps with the chemistry. And I've said all along, and my story will never change. I think our team is going to be significantly better at the end of the year than it was at the beginning of the year. And I think that will come to fruition.
I think last week you kind of mentioned that Montel got his feet wet. What's the next step for him? How do you get him a little bit more involved and keep his progress going forward?
Well, I think the first thing you have to do is get him involved with the whole game plan. You know, that includes all the passes, all the runs, all everything. And I think that if every time we put in Montel, it's just to go ahead and run the ball, you know, it's not going to take very long for the defensive coordinators to figure that out. You know, so this week he'll know everything this week. And last week he wasn't quite ready for everything, but you know, last I met with him last night a little bit, and when I come back from my favorite radio show, but when I met with him a little bit last night when I came back, I said, now you can't just know these 10 plays, you know, you need to know everything. And I think that we'll see how he handles it this week, but he'll be involved in everything this week.
You meet with him and Jake together or separately?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You can't do it separately.
Okay.
Because then everyone thinks you're doing, it's espionage. Like,
sure.
You're saying one thing to one. By now, you know that that's not my way. I mean, I'd rather tell people that this is the way it is rather than, and I don't like to play mind games with players. I like to just say this is, and now I say bad as well as good now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it isn't just the good things. You know, I'll sit there and say, here's what we're doing, this is the reason why, you know. And we're obviously part of the problem in, you know, at that position, and, you know, we have to play better for us to have a chance.
Do you script when you're going to put him in? Or
pardon me?
Do you script when you're going to put
no,
him
that,
in?
No, he didn't have the whole game plan in that game, you know, but he'll have the whole game plan in this game. So, I mean, he could be in a lot earlier this week. You know, we'll just have to wait and see how it goes. If we get the ball and Jake's in there, we go on 3 touchdown drives in a row, you want to take him out? No, neither would I. But I mean, let's say if you go 3 and out, 3 and out, you know, you might want to, okay, let's go. So, in other words, there's not a definite game plan on when you're going to do it at this point. When you expose quarterbacks to the whole game plan, then, and you know you intend to play them both, then you just see how it goes.
How many plays do you script at the beginning of the game? Does that depend on field position?
No, you always script somewhere between, in my career, I've always scripted somewhere between 15 and 21. And usually you come pretty close to running it down early, but I mean, there's been games in the past where I've gone 3 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out, and didn't call another play on that sheet the whole rest of the game. I would just say that obviously is not working. So, I mean, I don't wait till halftime to decide something's not working.
Against Texas Tech and Oklahoma, you got off to a real good start. Was that scripted?
Well, here's basically our deficiency. I mean, it's very clear. I mean, we can game plan all we want, okay, but when we play our cards, okay, and you still are inefficient in the passing game, then they could say the hell with the passing game, hell with how we normally play defense. We're bringing everybody up, and you can try running it, but you're gonna have to run it versus 9 guys. And now all of a sudden, those runs that look pretty good early, they don't look so hot anymore. Okay, the other day you have to be able to pass the ball, and I've said it, and you know, me as being part of the choreographing of the passing game, and along with the staff, along with the quarterbacks, along with everyone else, we all have to do a better job if we're gonna win. We have to do a better job throwing the ball, because I think that if we throw the ball at all, our running game will always be good. Okay, that's if we can throw the ball at all. Right now, what do we throw for 18 yards? 16 yards. Okay, sorry. Okay, so, but you get my point here.
Yeah.
My point is that that's the way it's going to be. I mean, Oklahoma blitzed and stunted more than they've done all year long against us. Okay, why? Because they were scrambling. I mean, they're scrambling. They're fighting on the sideline. You know, their defensive coaches are getting after each other because they're trying to figure out what to do. Well, they just said, well, we'll just bring everybody up and make them throw the ball. And what would you do? I'd do the exact same thing that they did. I don't blame them.
Is it harder to evaluate a high school junior college wide receiver or harder to get them to say yes to a program that hasn't had recent
passes? No. High school or junior college, which one are you talking about?
Both.
Well, give me one. Which one you want first?
High school first.
I think that the high school kids, unless they're local, or unless they really, you know, really have an affinity to your program, usually through the recruiter, you're going to have a tougher time getting them until you start winning. I believe that. Now, we have guys from Texas and that have recruited because we've been on them, and they like us, and they respect us, and they trust us. So that they don't end up, once a kid says yes to us, they usually stay because we're men of our word. We follow up with everything we say. But unless you're a local kid who always kind of had a warm spot for Kansas, I mean, I grew up in New Jersey. There's not like people across New Jersey aren't saying, God, I want to go to Kansas. Okay, now there might be guys that we have relationships with that are coming here. Okay, but at the end of the day, with a high school kid to want to come, you know, across the country or different parts of the country, I think that, you know, you have to have success in your program to entice them to come. Junior college kid, on the other hand, they want to play. That's all they want to do. They want to play. They don't want to risk having to come and not being able to play. Now, it's one thing if they're sitting for a year, that doesn't count because they still have the years of eligibility left. But let's say if you come out of junior college and you got 2 years to play too. Let's say that's the case. You better go somewhere where you know you're going to play. Because if you don't, you're making a bad choice. And, you know, that's where you have, it's a different mentality than dealing with a high school kid.
Is that a good position, a rich position for junior college recruits, wide receiver, compared to some other positions? Or?
Well, we have a couple things going on that might, answer those things. We had a couple things.
Is a guy like Courtney Arnett, I mean, is he the perfect type of linebacker to play against a team like Baylor because of that spread and because of their speed?
In this conference, he's the type of linebacker that almost everyone's going to.
Okay.
You know, 190, 200 pounds that might go to 210 pounds that can run all day. And he can run. You know, but, you know, he's not the only one that can run. You know, I'll give you an example. That 31 guy that we have, he can run. He's not just like one of these little guys that, you know, that everyone says, well, he's just a local guy, you know, a Kansas guy. He can run sideline to sideline. So I think that in this conference especially, now you need him everywhere, but when you have guys that can run sideline to sideline, that helps, and Courtney definitely fits that bill.
It looked like Jake was as good as he's ever been last week as far as running.
He had a heck of a game.
Yeah.
I made fun of Jake a little bit, and I said, you know, because remember he moved from Will to Mike, and I said, well, he had a terrible week of practice. Why'd you play so good? You know, because he did. I mean, he had a really heck of a game. He made a bunch of plays. Probably was that Oklahoma thing. That probably had something to do with it.
Can you look at what Baylor's done the last 5-7 years? And try to take some things away of how they turned that program around and
Two things I'll tell you. First of all, they're about 3 games over 500 since he's been there. I mean, so it wasn't like always all rosy, like, you know, we're 6-0. I mean, it isn't like you walk in, you wave a magic wand, and all the problems are solved. But what ends up happening is you every once in a while you hit it big, and there's a guy by the name of RG3. Okay, who went in there that no one knew him. He was a relatively obscure player a few years ago. But now when he steps up and has the career, what he did, it makes recruiting that much easier. Because everyone wants to be the next, you know, RG3 at their respective positions. And it brought him a lot of credibility.
They've got a lot of athletes as well. I mean, outside of RG3.
I'm just saying that's the recruiting. That is it. I mean, you don't see the pictures of all those other guys there. You see one, okay? You know, and that's probably a very good approach.
I'm sure this isn't the case in your locker room, but do you think Baylor's not getting enough respect nationally for the team they are this year?
They're fifth.
Right.
I don't think there's anyone questions. They're averaging 64 points a game. They're seventh in the country on defense. I mean, if they're not getting respect, then some people are stupid. Simple. Come on, there's not very many of you here. You can ask anything you want. You'll have to the rest of those guys. This is your day. Go ahead.
Is that coaching freedom hard to adjust to?
Pardon me?
Is that coaching freedom hard to adjust
no,
to?
No. Because my week's no different, I promise you.
I mean, on game day.
I think it allows you, to be honest with you, I haven't had that. I mean, I was able to do things during that game that I just normally not able to do. There are things you don't see that you got to see. I mean, there's comments you got to make that you don't normally get to do. I mean, there's a lot of things, you know, I kind of liked it, to tell you the truth. You know, look, the biggest problem you have when you're, let's just use me as an example, okay? The biggest problem when you're a guy like me has been calling plays for so long, okay, sort of by yourself a lot of times, even though you had good, valuable input by a lot of assistants, but, you know, because you're a little bit of an intimidating type of person, sometimes you don't get as open flow and exchange of ideas. By pulling back away, first of all, you get a lot more good ideas than you ever would. by opening up that venue, number one. And number two, just as long as you swallow your ego and don't, you know, don't try to just take your butt in all the time, it actually runs pretty smooth. And the biggest person you got to control is yourself, to make sure you don't say you're going to do it one way, then you're going to go do something else. That's when the problems occur. And actually, I didn't like the outcome of the game, but I kind of enjoyed it, to tell you the truth. Surprisingly.
Is Tony still having headaches?
I'll just say he's much better. He's day to day. He's much better.
Aren't we all?
No, we're not all. But he is. We're not all much better. You might be much better. I'm not much better.
I meant day to day.
Touche.
All right, I have one here.
He look not likely to play this week?
He's day to day. He's much better as well, by the way. He's not better, he's much better. He's not as much better.
Will it come down to game time, or do you think you'll know sooner than that?
I think I know.
Touche.
Next question.